Welcome to Hope Talks, where we share inspiring stories of hope in Jesus Christ. Hope Talks is hosted by Pastor Margaret Michael and Grayson Willis. Join us for uplifting stories of triumph, faith, and the enduring power of Christ's love. Also, if you're in the listening area, tune in to 1470 AM or 102.1 FM WBTX to listen to Hope Talks every Sunday at noon.
Welcome to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. I'm Grayson Willis.
I'm Pastor Margaret Michael.
Thanks for tuning in today. And today we have the pleasure of being joined by Pastor Kevin Griffin. Pastor Kevin, how are you doing today?
I'm great. How about you guys?
Good. Doing good. It's good to have you here.
Yep. And Pastor Kevin is our lead pastor here at Church of the Nazarene in Harrisonburg. He's joined us a couple of times previously. So we're just going to have a discussion today. And before we got started, we were talking a little bit about discipleship and evangelism. Pastor Kevin, what do those mean to you, and how are they related?
Well, I think that for me, they're not really separated. I understand when other people do separate them, but I think they are so close together, and I often will relate, I guess because I was a former coach, I think of discipleship in terms of maybe even just the practices, the word, the disciplines that you go through. We just don't always think of them in terms of being related to our spiritual life. I've heard this statement before. I agree with this statement that devotion is better than disciplines. I totally agree with that. But I do think there are those things that we're going to do in our life that are disciplines. And out of that, we have to get and invite other people to do them in order to grow spiritually.
As you said that, I was reminded of this idea that we have five senses that we live off of: sight, touch, taste, hearing, and smelling. And before we became believers, that's how we interacted with the world. But when we become a believer, there's another set of, as you said, disciplines. There's another set of spiritual practices that are put into play as we grow in our relationship with Jesus, that we rely on the spiritual disciplines instead of our nature, our fleshly nature, or whatever you want to call that. There is another, because now we're looking to grow in a relationship with God and with others, and so we get our direction from a different place. We're not directed by the flesh.
C.S. Lewis said it this way. He said, the disciple is one who has been taught or trained by the master. And so wherever they come, with whatever they come, there's this process, and you're saying it, where we've been led by our senses before, and now we're being taught, discipled, yes, invited to not just be led by them.
Yeah.
There's some things that those senses help us to do, right?
Absolutely. Yes.
In many, many good positive ways. Our Creator did that. But we can't just always be led by them, for sure. So,
yeah. There's a different, when we're talking about spiritual disciplines, that's the idea, is they're God-ordained disciplines. And so for those listening, they might be saying, well, what are those disciplines? What are the things that we are led to do? So for you, what would you say? What is the list?
Let me back up to answer your question. I remember the day I had just become a pastor, maybe a couple months in, and this was 5 years ago. But I remember the day that my youth pastor came in to have a conversation with me, and he came in respectfully and humbly. And so here I am, his boss, but we were friends, and I wasn't his boss before. I knew him, but he came in and he said to me, my daughter was a basketball player. She was preparing to go to college. And he said, can I talk to you? And I said, sure. And he said, you've done a great job of helping her become a very good basketball player. She knows how to dribble. She knows how to shoot. She knows how to play in the game. She knows where to go. She knows how to pass. She knows all of these things because you have discipled her. My question for you is, Kevin, have you done the same and shown the same attention to detail and the same passion and the same patience and the same with jazz in her spiritual life? that you have done and all of these other things, which still matter. I mean, she got money to go to college because of these disciplines and because of all that time and all that. And the fact is, I just sat back in my chair and I went, oh my. So in basketball, the answer was, are you going to lift? Are you going to shoot? Are you going to dribble? Are you going to play all the time? Are you going to, well, what about your spiritual life? And so often we think that we're just going to grow in our spiritual life. We expect, as a person who works in the work world, there are things that I have to do to improve. But I don't know why we don't make the correlation to our spiritual life and think that there aren't these things that we need to do on a regular basis, these investments. So back to your question. So what are some of those things? For me, and these sound ridiculous, right? Like, come on, you're talking about this on Hope Talks. We've heard this before. I'm going to say this one. I need to be around other really good Christian people.
Yeah.
It's true.
People who are ahead of me spiritually, and I need to be intentional. I just said this to a couple that I'm counseling in marriage. I said, you guys need to right now pick out a couple that is years ahead of you that you would look at their marriage and say, wow, they have a great marriage, and go to them and be thinking, can we go to you and can we talk to you and can we ask you questions and would you sort of mentor us? Mm-hmm. And they looked at me like, I mean, they received it, but it was somewhere like, what? Yeah. We have no problem with mentors and disciples and coaches and all these other areas. But I was like, you guys need to right now, before you ever get married, who's the couple or couple of couples that you would say, man, I see God in their marriage. Mm-hmm. And could we spend time with you? Could we learn from you? Could we? So that's a first practice. And then just what I do on my own in my own time in terms of prayer, and whether it's devotions or Bible reading or just being alone with God and his creation.
Yes.
Worship, not worshiping creation, but certainly appreciating it. Those are a few things that are my favorites. But one of my favorites is to be around other Christian people that are in the journey of faith ahead of me, I would say.
Yeah, I don't see
long how, answer, sorry.
Yeah, no, that's good. That's really good. And I think that I agree. Like, I don't know how you would do it without that. It's difficult if we aren't, because it's in community where we grow. We can be a pretty good Christian by ourselves, right?
Yeah. My friend Byron, when I was in Philadelphia, he said, I'll not be able to get away from this. The Holy Spirit works best in community.
Yeah.
He can work outside of community, right. And he does. But I loved when he said that, and he wrote this whole article on it, and I've never been able to get away from that, that he himself is in community and he works best in community. I am a better disciple when I'm around others. Now, I have to do some discipling. I have to make disciples.
Right.
Because it isn't just about me becoming a disciple.
Right.
But man, I'm telling you, spiritually, I really, really grow when I'm around other people who push me, pull me, draw me to a better place where I'm just, okay, Lord, what does this look like? What does this feel like?
Yeah, and the Bible says a lot about being in community and surrounding yourselves. Don't stop meeting together as others have gotten in the habit of doing, and go and make disciples.
Yeah.
So, and discipleship, like you mentioned, is twofold. We should have people discipling us, and we should be discipling others.
Yeah. It's a question I'm constantly asking myself, and I think about as a staff. Not all of our staff here at church are pastors. Right. Yeah. But man, I hope our staff is discipling people. Yeah. When we hired our former worship pastor in Pennsylvania, I said to her, I knew she could sing. I knew that she could pick good songs. But the number one thing I said to Liz when we hired her, I said, Liz, I need you to disciple this worship team. I need you to like be intentional with them and disciple this whole group of people. And if that happens, then the worship on Sunday will easily take place and you'll be able to invite other people to worship.
That's right.
That's good.
Sorry, I guess my answer was too long.
No, it wasn't too long at all. I do. I think that's just the foundation of Christianity.
Yeah.
We watched Jesus with the 12 and many more, right?
Yeah.
He was laying a foundation for us to follow. And I was just thinking about this morning. I was going through and thinking about different ones of different interactions that Jesus had with people throughout his journey, life here on earth. I thought about Jesus and the Sons of Thunder.
Mm.
That was a discipleship moment.
Yeah.
Thomas was doubting. And I love the fact that we have such amazing scriptures around that doubt. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Because Thomas was willing to ask a question. And I think in discipleship, that is so important that we don't, if I'm discipling someone, it's I can learn from the person I'm sitting with, but unless we have a transparent conversation, a transparent relationship, we're not going to have that freedom to ask those questions and to grow. So we have to have soil that's fertile and can be cultivated. What does Pastor Carey say? We have to be a green apple.
Yeah. Runner. Oh, yeah.
For me, it does come back to community.
I think also when I look at the way Jesus did discipleship, and it primarily happened, he did it in large groups and he did it one-on-one, no question. But the people that he was discipling, I'm not sure they understood fully what was going on all the time. I know in his culture it was, there's a rabbi and we're supposed to follow close mm-hmm. enough that the dust of the rabbi would get all over us. But I think Jesus basically said, I'm going to go over here and do this. And he would just invite these guys to go with him. And he didn't say, hey, I'm going to go over here and teach you a lesson on. He just said, hey, why don't you guys come with me? And then he just right. did things. And they learned by watching him, and then he had them do them. And then it was just, so it was this constant invitation by him to just go do life with people, right?
Right.
And in that, he was teaching these disciples, just come on with me. Just come over here.
Yeah.
And in the process, he was making disciples.
Right.
I don't know that I'd do that enough and do it well enough where we would just say, just come on over here and let's go do this. I mean, nobody taught me how to do a hospital visit unless I went with people and just watch them do it or whatever it is. It right. doesn't have to be a hospital visit. Mm-hmm. It could be just sharing the gospel. It could be just all of those things. Are we going to invite people into, hey, why don't you go over here with me and let's do this?
Yes. Yeah.
And we do that in every other area of life. I don't care if it's sports, a musical, whatever else it is. But for some reason, we don't do this in the area of our spiritual life,
yeah.
I feel like.
Yeah, and I'm thinking about people have to, and this is cliche, but it's true. People have to know how much you care before they care how much you know. They have to know that you really care about them in order for you to get into the deep subjects, the things that matter, you know. You don't want to just jump into the deep end of the pool, so to speak, with them first. Sometimes it might take patience and longevity with a person and ups and downs with them.
Yeah, it's a journey, right? The discipleship yeah. journey. We're on that journey. So certainly we got to have the patience to be, I just joked with somebody recently, you can't be in the deep end but for so long. Yeah. You got to come back to the shallow end some right. and give people a chance to catch their breath. So, yeah.
And it is a journey. You know, we all have things that we've been through, and some folks have had a foundation in church. Some people haven't. It's all over the board.
Yeah, and I'm thinking, you know, as we're recording today, this is playing at our church. We had Baptism Sunday, and recently one of our staff people was talking about her daughter, and her daughter had a friend with her home from college. So this would have been a few weekends ago, and her daughter's friend was interested in getting baptized and wanted to get baptized at our church because she didn't feel connected at the church where she goes to college. And so I think this staff person's daughter's kind of discipling this friend, or, you know, at least maybe they're discipling each other, but it's just cool. And baptism's another thing. Like, it's professing change in your life, professing that God has control of your life. And really, in my opinion, and I think it's one of the reasons we do baptism, other than giving people opportunities to go public, is it's an opportunity for the church to celebrate what God's doing.
It is. It's the community celebrating the individual who is expressing yeah. outwardly what's taking place inwardly, right? Yeah. But even in the way we've decided to do baptism, the person who's getting baptized has either a family member or a friend share in front of the whole church right. what has happened to them.
Yeah.
Well, what are they doing? They're discipling.
Right.
In those few moments, yes, they're giving testimony, but in those few moments, everybody who's sitting there getting ready to clap and yell and shout and get excited about right. what that person is getting ready to have happen, we're all still being discipled right. because we hear of this transformation that this yeah. person is declaring is taking place in their life. It's awesome.
Yeah, and Pastor Kevin, I think of the clip that you showed on Easter Sunday about Mary Magdalene talking with Nicodemus and him asking about her change. And she said, well, I met this man, and she doesn't say his name, but it's Jesus. She said, I don't know his name. All I know is the only thing different between who I used to be and who I am now was him.
That's right.
And that's all that needs to, you know, that is the difference.
Yeah.
He is the difference.
Yeah. Yeah, I was one way and now I'm totally different.
Yeah.
And the difference that's, in between is him. Yeah.
And that's what discipleship, you know, as followers of Jesus, as his disciples, we bring Jesus to others. What is it? Pastor Sam says something about we may be the only person that other people
may be the only Jesus
through.
They ever see,
yeah.
Or
yeah.
something
like
effect.
That.
Yeah.
And that's a yikes. I want to be Jesus.
Yeah.
I think Pastor Sam says something to the effect of that person is one generation removed from knowing Jesus.
Yeah.
That's kind of a scary thought.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pastor Carey said that a lot. And we're seeing that more and more. We had someone walk in the church on Good Friday. It was probably only the second time she's ever been in a church and grew up in another religion, and she's seeking. Thinking about a Good Friday service and just the message of what Jesus did for us, I really want to have a conversation with her to see how is that sitting with you, you know?
Yeah.
Because it was a powerful service. Yeah. So
I think there are two things that I've tried to ask myself and then ask other staff as I've been here. Are we increasing the depth of discipleship? And are we increasing the opportunities for discipleship? So, and those can go hand in hand. And it doesn't mean if you have 50 events on your calendar, you're better at discipleship. I don't mean that. But certainly, I feel like the more opportunities we have, the more chances there will be for discipleship. Perfect case in point for me is men's retreat. Yeah. Men's retreat is a microwaved weekend of discipleship. When I take my son on a men's retreat, he gets inundated for basically 2.5-3 days with this microwaved, like, he's just around this environment. He's hearing God's word. He's seeing worship from men. He's hearing vulnerability. He's getting fellowship. We're breaking bread together. Like, all of these beautiful biblical component things are happening in 3 days for his life. And it is just an incredible, like, wow, what better environment could he be in terms of discipleship?
Yeah.
So I'm not just highlighting men's retreat. I'm just saying that's a perfect snapshot of when real discipleship could take place if somebody's interested.
And that's foundational in my life. I started going back when I was in eighth grade through my senior year of high school. And yeah, I look back on those moments and just maybe I didn't realize then. Obviously, I loved men's retreat, but I probably didn't realize how huge of an impact those moments had and those relationships that were built and those men that I looked up to. And
yeah, he might still say, hey, skeet shooting or deep sea fishing or golfing right. are some of my favorite memories. And there's nothing wrong with that, right? But the reality is that at a certain point, and it happened for you is what you're saying, Grayson, and you're testifying, at a certain point I look back and I realize it was more than great seafood, and it was more than a great golf trip or skeet shooting and all of those things combined, and they were discipling me.
Right. God showed up in those worship services.
Oh, yeah.
And around meals and things like that. Even on the ride down and the ride back, some people don't like that, but sometimes those times even, that's part of the trip.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. 100%. Yeah.
So could you tell us about a time that you were discipled that impacted your life, that really maybe changed the trajectory.
I'll give you this isn't as serious one that would be like change your trajectory, but this was a really simple one that the person taught me and they didn't even know they were teaching me this. This was a leadership one. The person thought that I had done a really good job in something. And so they texted me and they texted my boss And they said, we just want to include your boss in this because one of the best ways that we can compliment you and affirm you and let you know that you did something right was, I want your boss to know this. So it was a text message. Now, it was a lengthy text message, but it was a great principle in that moment that later as a leader, I learned, like, you know what? I can validate somebody one-on-one. I can tell them they did a great job. I can, and I should do those things.
Right.
But every once in a while, it's really, really great when I go and I get somebody and I pull them in front of their supervisor and I say, hey, I want you to know this as a supervisor. This is what this person did. And I never forgot that what seemed like a small lesson, but became a very big lesson. And this is good leadership. Like, just elevate the person in front of their supervisor and imagine what that does. Mm. And it increases the discipleship for both of them. So yeah. That wasn't a life-changing one, but it was just a leadership principle I learned.
But it gave you a tool that you've carried.
Absolutely.
It's another tool in your tool belt to encourage people.
Yeah. One that I would say is life-changing for me, and I don't remember the exact moment, but there were a couple different times, whether I was a coach or a pastor, that people spoke into my life, and this is a lot of what coaching is, things that I didn't see, that I never thought. I mean, I'm sitting at this table. I still cannot believe that I'm pastoring this church. I mean, if you'd have told me this when we left in 2018, I would have just laughed. I'd be like, what are you talking about? So there are people who spoke into my life and said things to me, and I didn't know that they were discipling me, and they were calling things out in my life that I just didn't even think were possible. It's not even that it wasn't on my radar screen. I almost thought, are they being for real? Because I don't see this. And we have that in us all the time that we're able to do. We're not saying false things. It isn't even always a spiritual thing. But had that not happened as a coach, I would have never been a college basketball coach. And had it not happened in my spiritual life, I would never be where I am as a Christian, and certainly not sitting as the pastor of a church. I wouldn't have had that.
Yeah. One of the things that I love, even with Celebrate Recovery, is people come in and a lot of times they're at their kind of the rock bottom when they show up. Mm. And I know that God has great potential for them. And it's a journey. And I often tell them, hey, you didn't get here where you are overnight. It's not going to all change overnight. But if you stay in it, the landscape of your life will look different. It'll begin to look different. And I think that's discipleship. God gives us those moments and allows us to speak in to someone's life in a way that gives them a hope that they didn't have before, an encouragement. And I've had many people do that for me, or I wouldn't be sitting here either, because it's nothing that I ever thought would be possible for me. So, yeah, I think discipleship is just incredibly important. And I know we have a few minutes left here, and we've talked about this will be a couple weeks after Easter when we listen to this. But I don't want to miss taking the last few minutes of the time that we have and talk about Easter and celebrate. We had such a great celebration here as we went from almost a funeral-like service on Friday night to that celebration on Sunday with an Easter egg hunt in the middle. But I want to hear from you. What are the highlights for you? What impacted you, and what do you think a weekend like that does for our congregation?
Well, Friday, we were really intentional across our campuses that we, in essence, wanted to create a funeral service. That's what it was. It's Good Friday. And to get people to understand the weight and the impact of what happened on Friday, we wanted it to be diametrically opposed to Sunday morning. So it wasn't that we were trying to on purpose depress people.
No.
But we did want them to carry the weight of what happened. So while we were reading the scriptures from the table to the tomb, starting with that Passover meal to all the way to the tomb where Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, are sitting facing a stone and they feel like, man, all hope is lost. Mm. We read that. We sung about it. But we also had an artist, and it's hard for me to describe this on a podcast, but we had this artist who illustrated that story in four scenes, and it was so beautiful and so impactful, even though it was so heavy. So that's Friday night. Then we do, like you said, have this, you know, fun Easter egg hunt at a couple of our campuses. Our Elkton campus joined Elkton to do it, and so that was fun for the kids, for their family, all this stuff. But then Sunday morning to come back and say, okay, we left Friday night facing a stone. What does a rolled away stone now mean for you on Easter Sunday morning? And the fact that we had close to 2,000 people across our campuses and more than 125 of them accepted Christ. And we had our campuses take this stone and write a word or write a, you know, whether it was a cross or some symbol on it to say, this is what it means for me now, and place it at the foot of the cross outside on our campus. And I went out after the service, and even though it was sprinkling, and just looked at some of those words, whether it was done or free or over or forgiven or just all of these words that a rolled away stone meant. I'm trying to encapsulate an incredible weekend in the life of our church. I do think we discipled our people and we invited them to take the journey of, man, what did this week really mean? Mm-hmm. And then how do we leave here on Sunday celebrating that Jesus won?
Right.
Jesus won. And because he won, we win every day because of it. And so that's now right. Easter isn't the culmination. We celebrate Easter every Sunday as believers. Right. Every Sunday is Easter Sunday for us moving forward, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you said in a staff meeting, it's a launching point. And I think about the astronauts recently that launched
That's right.
into the moon. And yeah.
That was the beginning.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's only the beginning. So.
And finding next steps and is so important in the life of any believer. And having those next steps available is helpful. And some people may not know, like, what is that next step? And we try to keep those in front of our people.
Oh, yeah.
I think we're doing a new friends lunch. We're doing baptism. So I just want to say that in discipleship, like, we have to always, we'll never this side of heaven arrive. It is a journey the rest of our life to become more like Christ and be discipled by someone and have someone discipling us.
I'm really passionate about, I want our church to be a place where people say, these are real disciples. But real disciples make disciples. And I think far too many people, I'm not even thinking of a person, I'm just thinking, I'm challenging myself. They're okay being a disciple. But the truth is, if I'm going to be a disciple, I got to make disciples.
Well, and you're right. And I think we're always influencing someone some way, right?
That's right.
But are we influencing them for Christ?
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
So, yeah, heart posture, I guess.
Pastor Kevin, in the last few minutes that we have here, what else would you like to share maybe we haven't talked about already or that we haven't asked you already?
I just would share that I'm incredibly grateful for all that I see God doing in spite of a culture and a world that is so tumultuous and angry. Everything is not perfect here, but I am really, really grateful that I see God's hand at work and that I sense his presence when we gather, whether it's a few of us in a room that are praying together to on Sunday mornings that we get to celebrate. And so, I mean, I'd be brutally honest and say we got a long way to go, but I'm just overwhelmed at what I see God doing. I can't say I'm totally surprised, and I'm just delighted that, and this sounds so silly. I feel like the more that we've made a commitment to pray, the more I sense and see his hand and his presence just at work and people's hunger growing. Maybe it was your dad that told me a long time ago, people are tired of plastic. When we provide real environments where we say, this is where the presence of God has shown up time and time again, man, lives get changed.
Yeah.
And people become more like Christ.
And maybe this is redundant, but that's okay. Maybe you've already shared that and you can reshare it. If not, maybe there's something else. But we call this program Hope Talks. So what is bringing you hope right now?
What I just shared. Yeah. The fact that I look at culture and I look at our world and I go, wow, it's so hard. I mean, here we are. We're in the middle of a war, you know? Things are hard. There's just tensions. The political advertisements are so exhausting for all of us. We all feel like, does either side really care about us? And so in spite of all of those things and just cult, all of those things, right? We're all living in those. You can't turn on your phone. You can't turn on your TV. You can't turn on your radio. And yet I still have this overwhelming sense of peace that God is in absolute control. And when we seek him, we will find him. And he's been so faithful.
Well, Pastor Kevin, thank you for joining Pastor Margaret and I today on Hope Talks. It's been great to have you.
Thanks for letting me be here. Appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. We pray that as we've talked to Pastor Kevin Griffin today about discipleship, that it truly has been a half hour of hope for your life. May God bless.
Hope Talks is sponsored by Church of the Nazarene in Harrisonburg in partnership with Sunshine Ministries. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure to subscribe, rate, and leave a review on Spotify or Apple Podcast. Your feedback helps us spread hope to even more listeners. Stay tuned for more uplifting stories in the next episode. Until then, keep the faith, share the love, and find joy in the hope that Jesus Christ brings.